Welcome to the second episode of the Drink Till We're Funny podcast. You can reach us online at rubberspatula@dtwfpodcast.com or leave us a voicemail at 773-828-4397.
On tonight's show, my worst date ever, everybody's favorite bathhouse, and self-cleaning hoo-hahs.
Hi, welcome to episode 2 of Drink Till We're Funny. This is John, and I'm sitting here with Justin and Dina. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, cheers.
This is our second episode, and before we begin, we just wanted to give a shout out to our two listeners.
Two known listeners.
I think we've hit a few listeners according to our feed burner.
Rare.
I think we rare. Burn that feed.
Rare, burn it. Grr.
We've had more than that, but we've gotten two emails. So we got an email. First is Marshall Click from Gayborhood Radio. He was the first to send us an email right away and said that he enjoyed our show. So we like that. That was our very first email. So thank you, Marshall.
Can we frame it like a business would frame their first dollar bill?
We're going to print it and put it on the studio wall. This was our first email from Marshall. So if you want to listen to Marshall, he's at gayborhoodradio.com. And then this morning we got our second email from Matt in Australia. So Matt, we love you.
We also love you simply because you're from Australia.
Say something to us.
Yeah, call us and leave us a, leave us some voicemail and say something sexy.
What a great segue.
Have you been on a Segway?
I have. They're delightful.
Have you really?
No, I've not actually been on one. I'm afraid I'd tip over forwards.
Well, I don't even know what it is.
Oh, it's instead of walking, you stand on this thing and you lean into it.
Those things they have at Millennium Park.
Right.
Exactly.
That make you say, I'm sorry, but this is not going to make your security people really look all that threatening. If you want to emasculate someone, put them on one of these.
Well, now I was just watching the news, Fox News in the morning, and...
That's not news.
Well, it's entertainment. So I was watching that the other morning, and now you can do a whole tour of Chicago on a Segway for like $8,000. You know, it's like $36 for a three-hour tour.
A three-hour tour.
And so you get a Segway, and that includes the training on how to... drive a Segway.
Don't you just sort of lean forward and it goes? Or?
Yeah, but my understanding is that it's really difficult down a hill. Oh. Because you do have to lean forward in order to propel it. But at the same time, you also have gravity working against you.
Well, good thing there's no hills in Chicago.
Good thing.
I know.
Okay, so speaking of Segways, and oh, we were talking about...
Phone numbers.
Matt, you call need us. To call us. We now have... We're just advancing at the speed of light here.
Technology!
We now have a voicemail, so give us a call. Our number is 773-828-4397. You can also Skype us at DTWF Podcast. So looking forward to getting some feedback from people who care.
And for people who don't care.
We'd love to hear
we
negative
just
comments,
really
too.
We just won't really mention you or play your message back on our next show.
So, Mom, please call.
We will cry if you hurt us.
Please, yeah, don't say mean things. John is very sensitive.
I'm very sensitive, but I'm also a really big bitch, and I tell people nasty things all the time when they don't deserve it.
Oh, that makes me think of something I want to tell you. So, last weekend, Hewitt, you know, the company... for which I work, had a big fundraiser in partnership with the Illinois Broadcasting Association and the Red Cross to raise money for Katrina. Well, not for her, really, but for people affected by her.
She's such a bitch.
She's gone anyway. She died.
Amen. Anywho, Nanny, so they were getting calls. They raised something like $6 million, $3 million from Blue Cross Blue Shield, which, you know, they need all the positive press they can possibly get, but... not the point of my story. Back to that. Someone apparently called and was pledging some exorbitant amount. I believe it was like $20,000. which is not unrealistic because this could be an organization as well. They get to the point in the conversation, so you take the information, you collect the credit card info, and then you have to read it back, or Red Cross won't let you process it because they're a little afraid of, you know, inaccurate transactions. And this person on the phone said, "I wouldn't give that kind of money to anybody I know," and hung up. It was a pranker.
Oh, that's not cool.
That's worse than setting up a fake website for this whole thing. There's a lot of that. I've seen them. I read it on CNN.com.
Must be true.
It must be
everything true. Everything on the internet.
If it's on the internet, it must be true. Like, people's pictures on the internet are always inaccurate.
There's no Photoshop.
That's true. Dina, what do you look like on the internet?
On the internet, I am 5'7", I am 130 pounds, I have red hair, green eyes, and my measurements would be 38D, 24, 36.
Well, that's exactly what you look like,
exactly,
so I don't think that you're lying in the least with that.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you're
Well, Justin, do you have anything else, like news and views you'd like to share with us?
We're still working on the natural progression from topic to topic. Okay, I have to share this this thing I read today on the internet. This it's a guy who's over in Japan who is teaching in the Japan schools, and he's talking about this game that Japanese kids play. It's not a game, it's sort of like the Japanese version of the wedgie. And it's called Kancho, K-A-N-C-H-O, and it's on Wikipedia if you want to look it up. But basically, it's not a game. The kids, they put their hands together, and then they stick their fingers, their pointer fingers, out. Their pointer
index
sisters.
Index fingers.
Their index fingers out, and then they ram them in each other's butts. Not.
I've seen that, and yeah. It wasn't considered torture. I think it was considered foreplay.
Well, I have several movies where they're doing that, but that's...
There are people that get paid for stuff like that, not just students.
No, but so these little kids are around, they're like 12-year-old kids running around sticking their fingers, not in, like, in their asses, but, you know, because
in their buttocks.
In their buttocks.
Into the fleshy.
Into the pink, creamy center.
The cleft.
The butt chin.
This is called Kancho.
Kancho. So who's ever heard of that? I wonder.
How did you stumble upon this information?
Oh, it was a link from a...
I'm big in Japan, by the way.
Just in Japan.
Okay, I'm big wherever I go. Oh. I'm 5'7" and 135 pounds.
Oh, me too.
So, yeah, so these kids are doing, and so, actually, it's very funny. He posts a lot of different stories about language miscommunications and butthole pushing, and I think we should start some of that, except put it in coochies. Just walk up to a girl and just put your hands together and just
is
go
that
for it.
You could be carrying your very own disinfectant with you, I mean...
Or FDS.
Well, that's kind of just the... clean the crime scene. What about yourselves?
Now, do you use FDS? I've always wondered. I don't know much about
it. I've always wondered. I am of the strong belief that if you take care of your hoo-ha, which is my euphemism for the pussy, I ain't afraid to say pussy.
He ain't heavy. He's my hoo-ha.
Anyway, my health teacher back in school, and it has been confirmed in many locations, it's a self-cleaning oven.
Don't need no easy off.
It doesn't. You might have to crank it up to 500 degrees, but...
Is it clamped shut like the ovens? You don't
no,
even
no,
open.
There's no safety
no,
feature.
You've got to have that. It's like dishwashers.
But, I mean,
so
really,
your pussy just cleans
just
itself?
Just soap and water will do the trick if you do it often enough. And yes, it really does.
So then why do they sell the spray?
Okay, first of all, because if you make someone feel that they may have some funk, you'll sell a lot of stuff because that's obviously an association that you don't want to have with yourself.
Because John doesn't seem to mind.
I don't mind having a stinky hoo-ha.
Well, you know what they say. Nobody likes the dirty bottle.
Oh, that is so true.
Now, do you have... Is it now... Okay, so...
Oh, we're going back to my anatomy.
We're going
here
back
we go.
To your pussy.
I've been back to her anatomy.
And around again.
She's going to get you in the end.
I heard it.
Now, so do you, so there's no prepping whatsoever? Like, because, you know, if you're a bottom, you've got to clean your business if you are going
to
be
okay,
having...
but you've slept with a woman, so you'll understand that prior to... Ooh,
I have.
Oh, someone's at the door.
Ding dong, Avon calling. So what you can understand, that John cannot, so I'll explain mostly for his benefit, is that we are also self-lubricating...
Oh, and
therefore,
it's
wouldn't you love to have that feature? Can you get that installed?
Oh, I think it's only OEM. But anyway, no aftermarket products available. But really, I mean, what are you going to do? Prep, clean? I mean, obviously there's some maintenance in the, you know, manscaping that we mentioned last time.
Well, I imagine there's a fresh point. Like, if you leave lettuce out on a table, it wilts after a while.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a strict rule about if someone's face is going to be in the area...
In your lettuce head?
I just popped by. I thought I was in the
really
area.
It really brings in a whole new meaning to that image of the Cabbage Patch Kid thing. You know, lettuce, well, cabbage all
like,
around a face.
More like a garbage pail kid, I think.
Yes, that's true, too, but thank you. You have some freshness concerns, but there's no way you can really do any prep work like a bottom would have to, because as soon as you get all excited, whoop, it becomes slippery.
Well, speaking of crystal waters, that's exactly what would happen from what I've heard just now. Maybe it's not. I'm going to just nodge right now.
Would you explain the nodge for others?
Okay, so there comes a point in most stories that I tell, because my stories are neither informative nor entertaining, and the point comes when I've told the story for about 30 minutes, or it might seem like 30 minutes, and it was only a couple of minutes, where the only way out of the story, because it is so gone awry, is for me to nod. And we were trying to think of a way to make an audible nod on a podcast, and well, really, other than saying nod, which we didn't really want to do, we thought nodge, which is my name backwards, would be appropriate there. So I'm just going to, from this explanation, I'm just going to nodge, and we'll move on.
I think we just lost six viewers, listeners, viewers.
I know, I feel like calling them viewers, too.
If Dina's pussy won't scare them away, then my nodge will not either.
Oh, okay.
Do you have... go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if we were wanting to check that other story that you have out.
Oh,
do you do
well,
else?
while we're on the subject of genitalia.
Oh, I used to date Jenna Taylor.
For our benefit, he does actually nod as well.
Oh, so this guy in the soccer player, or football, as it's known, in Germany... just the other day, apparently, got into a bit of a tackle and ripped his penis open. He was playing football / soccer, and all of a sudden, so he gets tackled or he falls down, and he gets back up, and his shorts are, like, soaked in blood. So they go inside, and his penis has been ripped open, 6 stitches. Best part, bitch got it sewed up and went back out to play.
I would take time off for that.
I'm thinking, if you just put a gash in my cock, I'm not playing any foosball for a while.
Well, what I want to know is, when you're putting stitches in it, does it need to be flaccid?
Well, that's a good point. Probably, because, I mean, if it wasn't, you wouldn't have very much grip with the needle.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, what happens when it becomes a rep? Bing, 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 there are your stitches.
It'd be like if I put on a tight button shirt.
Pew, pew.
That's I didn't think of that.
Did well, that, of course, is where my mind goes.
It doesn't say in the article.
Doctor, your hands are cold, please.
Please, run them under some tap water. Oh, that's painful. And that's truly...
It's dangerous. Soccer's dangerous.
dangerous. Foosball, as they say in au français. Dina, how was your commute this morning?
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting little story. I was on my way to work, and as one would expect, you run into pockets of traffic. This was the best reason I've ever seen. It was actually my direction of traffic was slowed down, but the opposite direction was almost to a complete stop. Reason being, there was a dog on the loose, and this dog clearly was a pet. I wanted to say it was like a St. Bernard, or at least a St. Bernard mix. It was a very large dog.
Something that would make a dent if you hit it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something you're not going to run over. It, you know, at least not on purpose. But it's running down the road in the middle, like it's leaving the parade. And people are honking and looks back and almost seems to be very happy with this little jaunt. A very slow pace because it's a big, fat dog. But people were trying to pass, and then all of a sudden he'd weave, and then it was just hilarious because what were you going to do? So I don't know what happened, but it probably took these people a good 25 minutes to go 2 miles because of this dumb dog.
You dumb dog.
Was there anybody out there chasing it?
No.
I mean, were they just walking down?
It was just walking, and it had a collar. I mean, it was clearly a pet.
Must have been a gay dog.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
To stop traffic and make it all about her.
Oh, yeah. Oh. All about me with my white pants and my big baton and leading the parade. And
I'm the queen of the parade!
I'm the queen of the parade! That's a gay St. Bernard.
We need to find that dog and put it on a float along with scantily clad men for the next Pride Parade.
I've stopped many times for duck crossing, geese, and frankly, I'm like, run over the geese, because all they do is shit. I hate them. But they would also leave a dent. Yeah. But this is the first time I've ever seen, it wasn't stopped, but it was very slow. It was almost like following the horses in a bad parade.
That's
exactly the problem with following the horses.
That's a good time.
Commute. I don't even want to talk about my commute. It gets worse every day, so I'm not going to talk about it. Let me talk about the other night. I was getting ready for bed, which is a euphemism for masturbating. So I'm laying in bed and I'm doing my thing, and I hear a knock on my door.
Oh.
Now I live in a building with a buzzer and all of that. And so I'm thinking, who is knocking on my door? I've only had one surprise, like, knock in the past, and it was a neighbor of mine looking for a stick of butter. Which, if you know me, there's only one purpose for my kitchen, and that is as a beverage case.
Diet Coke and water.
There's coffee.
Coffee.
That's true.
Liquor.
Liquor.
You liquor.
Liquor cabinet.
Liquor in front, poker in the rear.
It's self-cleaning.
My oven is not, however.
It doesn't matter. You won't use it.
So other than just being funny, because she's looking for butter, and I think she thought I was lying, and I was just hoarding my margarine. Because she looked at me like, what do you mean you don't have any butter? I'm like, I don't cook, I don't have...
You got parquet, I know you got parquet.
Open up and give me your butter.
Well, first of all, what is her point in coming over and giving you a look like, who doesn't have butter? She doesn't have butter!
If I see her, I am going to say that. Why didn't I think of that then?
Well, I mean, that's just pot, kettle black, jade, emerald green, etc.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Unless you're blind.
Unless you're blind. So this wasn't the neighbor
so that was a few weeks ago. But there's a knock on my door, so I'm thinking either it's a random neighbor or someone has come to visit me. And, you know, sometimes there's somebody leaving or coming in at the same time. And I'm not expecting one. Hell, you know, I've only lived there 3 months. I really don't know a lot of people in the hood that are just going to stop by. But at the same time, I'm curious because I know a few people in the neighborhood.
So I was bi-curious.
By George.
So I, like, stop jerking off, and I jump up, and I go, and I look through the little peephole, and there's some girl standing outside my door.
Can I ask you a question real quick to interrupt you?
Sure.
When you went to look through the peephole, Did you, like, try to be as quiet as possible before you got to the people?
Yeah, I was also very cognizant of if shadows were going to change under the door, because I didn't want her to know, or know whoever it was to know that I was
smoking. But you opened it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, I didn't, because I wasn't dressed.
Oh.
So I'm in my underwear.
What was the point of going to the door? I mean, if it was me, would you have opened it?
Well, yes.
No! Wrong answer!
She doesn't want to see that.
When Susan and I lived next door to each other, I used to open the door in all states of undress. And it was never a problem.
Well, you don't live next to each other anymore.
Maybe it was a problem for her, but she never said anything.
I think she'd enjoyed it. Hmm. So, anyway, so I'm in no condition. I'm...
Both of us are like, I don't see how.
Oh, hell, we've both seen it.
That's true. Good mouthfeel.
Oh.
You're terrible.
All right, so I'm in a t-shirt, I'm in an underwear, I'm as hard as a rock, and I'm like, how do I do, but I'm curious as to why she's knocking on my door, so I have to answer it. So I run back, and I'm like going through the clothes that are laying on the floor, looking for something I can put on. I find like some shorts, I put them on, and I go back. So I open the door, and she's like, maybe 20, 21, and she's wearing, like, this tight black shirt and the silver, but she looks like she's getting ready to go out on, like, a Tuesday night.
Well, when you're 20, you do that.
Mm. That's true. I don't do that.
Guess what?
You're not 20.
So she's looking at me, and she's got the nastiest, bitchiest look on her face. And she's like, are you the pot-smoking neighbor?
And hi, nice to meet you too.
I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before in my life. And so my neighbor across the hall is who I'm sure she was referring to, because they regularly have the scent of marijuana wafting
would be what a skinny person would do or something.
Oh, you're just wafting away. So I come home, you know, four times a week to the very strong smell of marijuana in my hallway. But so she's looking at me, and I can't figure out is she asking me in an accusatory, like, because I have a bone to pick with you way, or I need a stick of butter, are you the pot smoking neighbor?
But not asking for butter, asking for ganja.
But if, you know what, I think she should figure out which neighbor. Okay, these were two different stories, these women, right?
Yeah, two different women.
When she identifies the pot smoking neighbor, she needs to inform the girl who lacks groceries.
They always have stuff for munchies. Always.
If you need something to eat, go to the pot smokers.
That's right.
So I wasn't sure how to respond because I didn't know what her intentions were. I thought she was going to smack me because she looked mean.
You would have smacked back.
I would have.
Not with your hands.
I would have given her the clap, let me tell you.
Avoid the clap.
Jimmy Dugan.
That's good advice!
That was back. A throwback to our League of
Their Own. League of Their Own. Yes.
That's good peeing.
So anyway, so I said no, I'm not the pot smoking neighbor, but I'd like to be. No, I didn't say that. And I sort of motioned or gestured across the hall, and she was like, okay, thanks, and turned around. What a bitch.
Why did you help her?
Well, I didn't know, because I didn't know she was being a bitch. You know, some people just look bitchy.
You could have pointed to the elevator. Right. They're in that room.
Oh.
I've been told that I look bitchy. That when I am, you know, just my face at rest, it does look a little bitchy. That's kind of what it is.
But I get that, too. I think it's the downturned lips, because my lips, like yours, tend to...
And I'm not a smoker, and I never have been.
But
smokers typically have the permanent frown.
I couldn't figure out what that had to do with looking bitchy.
No, the shape of the mouth.
Oh. But I'm not really... I'm usually in a good mood. Well, except for Sundays.
Well, sure.
And Mondays. I'm in a good mood usually on Saturday nights. And
so when you're drinking heavily?
Yeah. Not Fridays, because I'm usually tired. But if I've had a nap Friday night, then I'll be in a good mood.
there are a lot of conditions for you to be in a good mood. What does your boyfriend think of this?
Well, first of all, he knows that in the morning, if I don't have coffee, you don't talk to me. Because I am not a nice person before coffee.
I live with you. I can attest to that.
It's true. And even with coffee, sometimes it's questionable. I might not be in a good mood.
I can attest to that as well.
You can also attest to the fact that, well, I'm not going to talk about that story right now. It's just not, I'm not ready to reveal that story yet.
I wish I knew what story that is, because I'm about to tell a great one!
There was one time, Dina and I used to live together in a couple of different apartments, ranging from Waukegan to Wheeling, so we run the gamut from A to B.
Well, from W to W, really. W-A to W-H. We're almost like a page in an encyclopedia.
But we used to live together, and I don't know how many times she saw me naked on accident. Whether I intended to be naked or not. Well, I mean, I guess you always intend to be naked, but there were many times.
I feel a nudge in our future.
Well, anyway, the one time I remember was I woke up before you did because we had different work schedules, and I decided to iron some clothes right out of the shower. And I didn't expect you to get up early, so when you did, I was a little bit surprised, and I think I knocked over the iron and the ironing board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Revealing all of your goodies.
Well, not just that, but think about the burn I could have gotten if the iron had hit me.
That's terrible.
You'd get stitches. I mean...
just depends on if you're flaccid or hard, I guess.
I suppose so.
Ooh, what story were you going to tell?
I don't know. That's a good one.
Okay, fine.
There are so many of them.
Right, we have to spread this out. We can't turn this into... So when I lived with John, because that'd be the new name of the podcast.
But most of the stories about us living together, a few aside, are pretty funny stories.
I agree.
Okay, fine. I'm glad we agree on that. Well, I had a follow-up to our discussion last time about the you know chance of getting love off of Craigslist. And how, you know, I was the person in the yellow cock ring, missed connection, you know, that whole story.
Think we can make it?
I think it's fate. So I being the curious one, went out to Craigslist the next day to try to find just such a story. And the fates are with me sometimes because I did find such a story.
So were the vapors.
Oh, I got the vapors. Lordy, lordy.
What is that?
I had no idea. It was almost like ghosts. You know? Orlando, you like it? It's autumn sunrise. So anyway...
We just lost anyone who was still listening.
All right, so anyway, where I was going with this was, to recap, yellow cock ring, can we make it? I saw you in Steamworks. Well, so I went to Craigslist, missed connections, and I found this one that it was something like salt and pepper hair Steamworks. And so I looked at it, because it was M for M, of course, because, you know, why bother with the rest? Well, actually, I did look at the rest of them, but this was about the best one, because it fit so perfectly. The deal was that the person said in his missed connection, we met at Steamworks, you bottomed for me, I didn't catch your name, but I meant to before we left. You told me I was hot. We hooked up at Steamworks. Here's the actual one. We just found it. We hooked up at Steamworks. You bottomed for me. We left the door open. How romantic. You, tall, shaved head, in shape, clean shaven. Me, short, salt and pepper hair, hairy chest. You said I was sexy guy. I wish I'd asked your name and started a conversation. You are very hot and would like to meet you and get to know you.
Right.
And of course it says, no, it's not okay to contact. So the question that I have out of this...
Oh, by the way, just for people who don't know what Steamworks is,
Not that I'm going to be able to give probably a very
good description. I actually need a little education on steamworks.
Oh, sorry. You can probably do it better than me. I don't know.
Because I'm sure you've been.
You're such a whore.
Thanks. No, steamworks is a bathhouse. So I have not been to steamworks before. But
notice you didn't say I have not been to a bathhouse before. It was just that particular one.
I have not been to steamworks Chicago, but... you go there to have sex. I guess you can get a private room or just a locker, and then you put a towel on and you walk around, and you kind of have to be like really hot.
It's all very 1982 to me to have that sort of situation.
It sounds like the beginning of what, Philadelphia or some movie. I don't get it. How is that not prostitution?
Oh?
I mean, they're paying money, right?
Well, they're paying for the location. It's like renting space.
Well, it's a membership, it's a private, I think technically it's a private club, because I know you have to pay for for a membership, and...
Is it like Sam's, where you can get a twofer?
$35 a year, and this is your complimentary partner's card, or spouse. Well,
or Sam's, bottom.
Or bottom's card.
BYOB.
I think they have them there. So you can go, and I guess there are showers and steam rooms and sauna. You may even be able to work out there, but mostly I think you just suck cock.
Yeah, so that's the kind of place we're talking about. And the big question that I have with this situation at Steamworks is, it's a missed connection, and supposedly it's for finding love, but you didn't even bother to get the name of the man that fucked you?
Well, he bottomed, so no.
Oh, you're right. You bottomed for me, so...
But still, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Can we make it?
What, are you saying you know the name of every person you've ever slept with?
I can pretty much name them all, yeah.
Well, my point is, let's say you don't. Are you trying to find them through misconnections? Or do you just say, that's, 7.5. That's he'll be called for the rest of his life.
That's right. Salt and pepper, 7.5. That's not referring to anything but penis size.
So, let me ask you a question, because I know that you have met a number of boys via the internet, not necessarily, Steamworks or Craigslist.
Right.
So I know people lie about their height and their weight. What is the standard deviation for how inaccurate penis size is between conversation and actual showing up at your place?
You know, my experience is that it's... Probably plus or minus. No, it's always minus. Never plus.
Who understands?
I would say minus 1 to 1.5 inches.
Interesting. That's an awful lot to be fibbing about.
Well, I think some people just have a different concept of size.
Well, do you think some people... Well, all boys measure, so do you think that the starting point, sometimes it's push that fupa in, go back until you hit that pubic bone, start
now, what is
from there.
What is fupa again?
Fat upper pussy or penis area.
So it's that little fat deposit right above
pubic
the...
pubic mound, if you will.
Mons pubis.
Sell a t-shirt. I scaled Mons pubis.
Really?
It was huge.
You
had to
take,
I had to take gear with me.
There were two dead hikers along the way, but I made it.
They had died from stench.
I got caught on a Mons pubis. I had to cut my own arm off just to get free.
Well, thank goodness that you had that little pocket knife with you, the Barlow.
I just chewed my arm off. So anyway, no, I think, I don't know. I mean, for the most part, believe it or not, I the people that I have met from online have more or less been accurate in their their descriptions. Usually, I mean, I think you can tell if some, like, here's the thing. If you provide a full description to someone and they leave out something when they respond, it's bad. No, so if you say, I'm 30 years old and I'm 6 foot tall and I'm 175 pounds and I have an 8-inch cock, and they reply back and say, I'm 5'8" and really horny.
Yeah,
that means you're old.
And you got a small dick.
So usually it's the omission that gives it away. And then if they send you...
Not journal.
So if they... and if they send a bad picture, that means that's as good as it gets. You know, like if it's blurry, if it's from far away, it's just bad news.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I had a date. I don't know if you remember that. I met the guy just for coffee at the BNN in Deerfield one time. Barnes & Noble, that is. And the guy sent me a picture, and the picture was really fuzzy and blurry and, you know, just generally out of focus.
1.5 megapixels.
and I was like, well, he doesn't look too bad. It's probably just the picture. And then I got there to meet him for coffee, and it was really a good picture of him. Because he were... ugly.
Oh, your picture does not do you justice.
Speaking
you
of...
You don't look anything like your AOL profile.
Wait a minute. You're not 5'11"? Nine. I was at 5'12", but that was just redundant. But speaking of that, remember that guy at the Wolf camera video? Or Ritz camera, wherever it was?
Sure.
There was a gentleman who, both of us saw him, and he looked pretty normal from the equator up. And
where is the equator?
It's right around the
belt. It was just above his belly button.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he kind of sidled his way out of the counter, because, you know, they have that little swinging door, or a rather narrow place to come through. Well, he sidestepped through it, and...
I've seen some narrow places to come through.
I heard that. And when he
that
got...
is so true.
When he got out there, he was more or less...
an inverted light bulb. I wouldn't even call
skinny
him
at
hair
the top
shaped
and...
or bell shaped.
Yeah. If you put
it was a flood lamp.
If you put a skirt on him, he would be bell-shaped. But he was very large from the waist down and not as large from the waist up. And the comment that Dina made to me that day was, I bet he's fooled a lot of people on the internet. He only need it from the waist up there.
Right, because he looked all right.
It just brings back a flood of bad memories.
Oh, doesn't it? So I thought I would tell my worst date ever story. I dated a guy several years ago who worked for Motorola and currently works for Microsoft and lives in Seattle, in case he listens.
So if one of the three people listening to this
happens to be
him. She's giving a shout out to him.
That's right. And it was the first date. Didn't know if I really liked him. Second date, couldn't make up my mind. Now, let me just say, I was being shallow at the time. He was incredibly wealthy, incredibly generous, and incredibly attentive. And I don't mean in a sexual way. But it was like, well, it's fun to go out with him, even if I don't really like him. So I had decided, you know what, this is not my style. I really need to just make up my mind. So I said, on date number three, I'm going to make a decision as to whether or not I enjoy his company, or if I really just enjoy him buying stuff, and then act appropriately. So we meet for dinner, and of course he was late, which is one of my big pet peeves, so that was not boding well for him. And he arrives, we have dinner, we agree we're going to go see a movie afterward. Well, because we had met at the restaurant, we decided to drive together to the movies, and he drove. So all the way to the theater, he's like, you know, I really feel like I'm getting to know you better, and I'm feeling very comfortable in your presence, and...
you can just feel it coming.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, oh my god, he's gay. Seriously, what I'm thinking.
How many gay men have you dated?
It's like when you're in that point in the relationship and they say, we have to talk.
So
it's always
comes.
Bad news.
I was very nervous about the whole, okay, this is my personal nightmare, is to marry a gay man. That's like my number one fear. So I'm like, oh, at least I'm dating one now. This is like halfway there. I don't know what to do. But in fact, he wasn't gay. So he's like, well, maybe you can guess what my... there's something I want to tell you. I'm just not sure if it's going to turn you off. And I was like, okay. And of course, clearly, I was like, anything you say at this point doesn't much matter. But I didn't want to say that aloud. So we get to the theater, and he still hasn't told me, and the movie's about to start, and he's like, well, maybe. I'm like, you know, if I don't need to know, don't tell me. Just tell me later when you're more comfortable. And he, of course, he saw this as being very supportive, and I'm just like, I just don't want to know.
Please don't tell me. I'm never going to see you again anyway.
Right. And he doesn't know. This is the end. So it was a Friday night, and I don't do well on Friday nights because after a long day of work, I don't really stay up that late. So it was probably midnight by the time the movie ends, and we're driving back, and I'm yawning, and he's back to this topic about, now, some people know this about me, but not many, and I don't know, I've had mixed reactions, and I'm like, are you gay? I came right up and asked him. And he said, no, I'm not gay.
Why did he always guess that first?
I can't imagine.
So I'm like, okay, are you bisexual? And he's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. So then we get to a stoplight, and I'm within the distance of my car that I can see it ahead, and I'm like, oh, I would really just love to go home. I'm exhausted. I'm not having a good time. I never want to see this boy again. And then he decides to tell me. So we're parked next to my car in the restaurant, and he reaches into the console and pulls out a bra.
Like a brassiere?
What else would a bra be? I don't know.
Why would he pull one out? I mean,
what happened? So he pulls out a bra, and then he holds it up.
Was it his size?
She'll get to that.
You've never heard this story? And he holds it up, and he's like, I was wearing this before we got together tonight. And I was just, I didn't react negatively. In fact, I barely reacted at all.
Were you surprised?
Yeah. What I did do is I looked at his bra, and I looked down at my chest, and I looked at his bra, and I looked down at my chest, and then I pouted, and he's like, is everything okay? I'm like, yours is prettier than mine! So then he's like, this is the best reaction I could have expected, and I'm thinking, I'm never calling you again!
So what happened? Did it just, did he not... You didn't call him, so did
I he... didn't call him. I ended up getting an email from him several weeks later that basically said, I'm not attracted to you, but I could see us being married. Because I think you're really intelligent and that's important to me. And I'm like, weirdo. So then he sold his house and he moved back to Seattle to work for Microsoft. And probably a year and a half passed. Well, then I bought a new computer. I needed some Microsoft Office. I sent him an email. He went to the company store 2 days later at my front door when I come home from work is brand new software. I'm like, yay!
That's the best thing about dating a boy that wears bras.
I've got dirt on him. I probably could get anything I want, but who wants Microsoft products? Oh,
nothing says love like Access XP. Oh, well, I think we have beat this one to death.
Absolutely.
So, thanks for listening in, and there are a number of ways you can contact us. You can email us at rubberspatula@dtwfpodcast.com, or call us on our new listener line, 773-828-4397. This is Justin.
I'm John.
And Dina.
All right, bitches, we'll talk to you later.